Hello and welcome to episode 3 of season 2 of Publishing Insight, an interview podcast about working in publishing. I'm Flavia, your host, and in this episode I interview Akuia Boateng, marketing executive at DK and host of the Sankofa Book Club, a podcast about African literature. Akuia has great advice for book marketers who want to think out of the box and for professionals who want to move into publishing from different industries. She's also a strong advocate of holding into your authenticity and uniqueness when doing job interviews to start or advance your career. And she explains why it is so important to celebrate our differences and promote initiatives to increase diversity and inclusion in publishing and the creative industries in general. For any comments or feedback, you can write me an email at publishinginsight@gmail.com or get in touch on Twitter and Instagram at flamflam91, FLAM91. Publishing Insight is an independent project, so if you'd like to support it, you can donate on Ko-fi, subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and leave a review. All the links mentioned are in the description box of the podcast and on my website, www.publishing-inside.com. Happy listening! Hello and welcome to a new episode of Publishing Insight. Today my guest is Akuia Boateng, marketing executive at DK. Hi Akuia, and thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi Flavia, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here, or in my house. Stay home.
Well, yeah, of course we are recording remotely. So should I start with the first question?
Yeah, sure.
Can you tell us about your academic and career path so far?
Yeah, so I did my first degree in law at the University of Essex and quickly decided that I did not want to be a lawyer. I was very disappointed by the course and found all the students really competitive. And I was like, I think I just like a more chill career in life. So I did a lot of student journalism and a lot of volunteering, and I'm still very active within the law society and the bar society at my uni. But I definitely found communications and marketing a really interesting field. So I kind of knew that I could do social media. I thought I was quite good at digital. And I took as many opportunities, internships, work experience, seminars, training, everything I could possibly do to kind of upskill. So I did a few roles in marketing, a few short-term stuff, a few freelance stuff. I've also like disappeared for months at a time to do volunteering. But yeah, most recently I've landed at DK and I'm a marketing executive there.
That's great. Thank you. What does a typical day as marketing executive at DK look like, and what are your main tasks and responsibilities?
So anyone who works in marketing knows that no day looks the same. So every day is different, which is what I really enjoy about working in this field. But I think my day to day varies depending on the campaigns and the books that I'm working on. So we have books that are so big that they'd have celebrity authors, and that would involve working closely with the PR team. And then there are other books that are just kind of smaller, strong backlist titles that would get more of a digital push than anything. And on days like that, I work more closely with the design team, for example. So every day differs depending on the campaign that I'm working on. But I, as a marketing exec, we look at the overall campaign management. So I plan the campaign for each title that I'm working on, execute it, find partners, work with the digital marketing team, designers, the PR team, in order to execute it as best possible. Also work with editors to find out as much about the book as possible, because in marketing we don't actually get the content until it's finished. So there's so many gaps, you don't always have time to read the whole book depending on the kind of title that it is, or get to know every aspect of the creative process. So there's lots and lots of bits and bobs, working with the sales team as well to make sure that we're pushing consumers to the right channels and the right retailers. So that's an overview of what I do.
That's really interesting, thank you. And what is your favorite project you have worked on at DK?
So my favorite project that I've worked on at DK actually has nothing to do with marketing. I applied to participate in the DK Exchange Program. And it's basically an opportunity for all colleagues to pitch a reason to travel to one of our other offices and work there for a week. So we have offices in Delhi, in New York, Germany, there's London, obviously. So I applied to go and work in our Delhi office for a week. Firstly, because I project manage our catalogue, which is actually a big part of my job. It consumes about 5 months of my life. But also to work on improving our diversity and inclusion by way of the content that we produce. And I knew that the team in Delhi had a local publishing team that I don't ever get to work with. I don't work with all the publishers across DK, much less in India. So I was just really curious to see what they were producing, if there was any way we could support them to help push their titles globally, or just to learn more about how they work and how they operate. And I think coming from a unique position as a marketer rather than a publisher or an editor, I always think about a book differently. I always think about how it's perceived. So I always focus a bit more on the end user, the reader, the consumer, rather than the book itself. Yeah.
That's really fascinating. Thank you. And this is your first role in publishing. How do you think your previous jobs have prepared you for your current position, and which transferable skills have you acquired from other industries you have worked in?
Yeah, so I think the great thing about marketing is, even though it varies from industry to industry and different companies, some companies focus more on brand, some companies focus more on the product, but at the end of the day, there's a product or a service that needs to be sold, and the marketers are to support that process and to make it as appealing to consumers as possible. And to be honest, it doesn't really matter where you work, that job is never going to change. So I think that's one thing I really love about this field. As much as I'm really happy working in publishing, I know that all the skills that I have acquired are transferable. So where other roles may focus more on digital campaigns, and then you move somewhere else and it's more brand marketing, I just tell myself, well, what have I learned about from my digital experience that you can definitely use to push towards a brand, and vice versa. And I think one thing I love about being a generalist marketer is, even though you don't actually get to become an expert in one particular thing, like Flavia, you're like a metadata guru, I'm sure. I don't get to become an expert in one thing, but I know enough about the different things that make a great campaign, and I'm able to harness it and bring on side the people that can really push it and make it work. So I think just having been working in marketing over the past, it's probably been about 5 years now. All the different things that I've experienced dealing with, like, you know, actual customers that are frustrated versus having to negotiate like thousands of pounds with advertisers, I think it's all important, because the function is still the same. Yeah, and I think also working in different industries and seeing how everybody benefits off the different strengths and weaknesses that they have in order to do the best they possibly can has also really helped me, because it makes me more confident in taking risks. I think that was a good answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And what advice would you give to other marketing professionals working in other industries who are now trying to get into publishing?
Off the back of what I was just saying and how unique each industry is, I think absolutely hold on to that. And it's not that you'd be starting from scratch if you moved into publishing. You'd actually be bringing the strengths that you've learnt over the years in other industries, and you can bring that into publishing as well. So my main tip would be to hold on to your authenticity and your uniqueness, because as much as I really enjoy publishing, I think it's been the same for about 100,000 years, and people aren't too open to change and mixing it up and taking risks. But I think it's important to have those discussions, even if you're knocked down every so often. It definitely helps create a dynamic environment and people are flexible. We all want the best for our work. And yeah, so definitely maintain your authenticity, and yeah, believe in the skills that you already have, and just know how to present yourself as well. Actually, as you can hear, I didn't have a traditional route into publishing. And it's more because of personal projects and affiliations with books that I found myself in publishing. But actually, I was able to present myself in such a way that my recruiters knew that I was definitely a valuable candidate. This is definitely somebody they'd want on the team. And it as long as you're able to prove that from the beginning, you just walk in that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. And do you have any word of advice and tips for recent graduates applying for entry-level positions in publishing?
Again, as I mentioned when I was talking about my own career path, I did as much as I possibly could to upskill myself. So if you have gone down the more traditional route and maybe done a degree in English or in publishing, I would just try as much as possible to get work experience in those fields. Even though if you're working for a company, they absolutely should pay you for work experience that you do for them. If there are opportunities to volunteer with charities that are maybe like helping kids read in libraries or in schools and things like that, you should absolutely do it. And I actually think my drive to volunteer is probably what has given me the most skills, because you come up with more challenges and you're doing it because you want to, not because you're being paid to, which a lot of jobs do tend to feel like after a while. It just feels like, okay, I'm just here for the paycheck. But when you're volunteering, you're here to help someone, or to see lives changed and things like that. So I'd always recommend volunteering because it's super personal to me. And it's just a great opportunity to try different things without taking too much of a risk. So yeah, just really throw yourself into whatever it is you want to do. And it's okay to change your mind. Yeah, I changed my mind in the middle of doing my law degree. I did finish it. But I worked so hard in pursuing marketing. It didn't feel like a shame. It didn't feel like a loss at the end of the day. So stay flexible. We're still learning about ourselves every day. Yeah, that's the main advice I'd give.
That's good advice. Thank you. And in your opinion, what are the most important skills and qualities to become a marketer in publishing nowadays?
I think most important skills and qualities to have is always find what makes your book stand out from everything else. At DK, we publish so many books each month and they all have different priorities. But if we're publishing that many books, so is every other publisher. And I'll be working on a campaign. I'm like, oh my gosh, what can I really do to make this different and cut through the noise? Because there is a lot of noise out there, especially if we're all marketing to the same book purchasers who are buying from the same retailers, et cetera, et cetera. So always look for what's unique about your book and capitalize on that. It sounds really obvious, but if your book has the most beautiful photography in the world, even if it's just a kid's book, you want everybody to see that photography and you want it to be somewhere where the right person is going to see it as well. So I think finding the unique things about your book is what's important, and also knowing your audience. As I mentioned before, that doesn't limit it to the same book buyer from the same retailer that a lot of publishers are maybe targeting. You know, get to know your book and realize that, oh my gosh, actually there's a nice niche market for this demographic. How can we reach them? How can we make them more regular customers as well? So I think regularly think about your audience and don't assume that if it's another gardening book, then it's going to have the same gardening audience. Find what's different about this book and reach all the possible audiences. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. Thank you. In your spare time, you are also one of two co-hosts of the Sankofa Book Club, a podcast about African literature. What's the format of the podcast and what are its mission and vision?
Yay, the Sankofa Book Club. This is my baby. our vision and mission, well, I guess we just want as many people to learn about African history, African culture, by reading African literature or books by African authors. Myself and my co-host, Dr. Melody Obing, don't ever forget it. We are both of Ghanaian descent. We are British-born Ghanaians. Our parents were born and raised in Ghana. were born and raised in London, but we're still very attached to our Ghanaian heritage. But there's a limit to that because we've spent so much time here in the UK. And there's also like a subculture amongst British Ghanaians, which extends to British Africans and Black British community. And then there's a whole diaspora that we feed into. So we just wanted the opportunity to connect all these different things and talk about our experiences and welcome as many people to do so. We personally learned a lot by reading African literature. Yeah, we want to be able to continue that and also help change the narrative. I, as much as my family educated me, I often saw depictions of Africa in Oxfam adverts and then, you know, Black people in yet another slavery film or TV show. And I just knew that there was more than that. And it gets very frustrating after a while. So, better than to just complain about it, I'm going to showcase all the other things that there is to learn and know about the continent. So that's really our vision. So the format of the podcast, it normally starts with Mel and I just talking amongst ourselves about food or something stupid or something I saw the other day. Randomness, really. And then we go into talking about the book. So we'll give a quick synopsis of the book, some context and background, which is really important because some of these books are to a situation that you'd never learned about in history or you wouldn't know about by current affairs. So we try and touch on that as well. We get some background on the author. I think that really helps me connect a bit more to the story once I know the position that the author is writing from. Then we talk about what we thought of the book individually. We go through three themes, which aren't necessarily the most important themes, but just three themes we want to pick out. And then we'll talk about our best bits, our worst bits. And that's it. We try and keep it under an hour, but, you know, depending on our guests and the topic, we can ramble to.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you. I highly recommend it to my listeners. Absolutely. You can find a lot of really interesting book recommendations in the Sankofa Book Club. So if you're looking for your next read, absolutely go and listen to a few episodes and I'm sure you'll find great treasures.
Thank you. Such lovely words.
And at DK, you are part of the Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Why is it so important for publishers to promote and encourage such initiatives among their employees?
I think one thing I recognize about the publishing industry, as it sits in media as well, is we're gatekeepers for information and where newspapers and magazines are definitely short form compared to us. Publishers do publish credible information, whether it be in the form of short stories or personal narratives or nonfiction. Publishing is influential and it shapes the way people think, it educates people. So first of all, I recognize the importance of publishing and books in society and in our world. And I think it's important that it reflects the world that we live in, which is not everyone being the same or there being a particular type of person to aspire to. I think it's really important to recognize our differences and celebrate them. Sometimes we, just generally in terms of being a good person in quotation marks, we take the position of everybody's equal, one love, one race, one people, one religion, etc. I'm actually the opposite in that we are different people. Flavia, you're petite, you wear glasses, you have brown hair. I am curvy, I have dark skin, and my hair is almost always out in an afro. We're different. We're completely different people. You're Italian, I'm British Ghanaian, you know? We have our differences. And we should all be afforded equal opportunities and equal outcomes despite our differences. But that doesn't mean we can't acknowledge our differences. And we can't discuss our differences. We should still be able to celebrate our differences. So I don't really think it's good enough for us to ignore them or pretend that, you know, that there aren't any issues or any problems in terms of the scope of people that are presented in books. You know, Some you can read a book and know that this book is from the perspective of a white male, or read a book and know that this is a heterosexual woman, which is fine, but we should hear as many stories as we possibly can. And we don't want to hear different versions of the same story. And part of that, I think, also involves having different kinds of people working in these industries. Just in our general day-to-day conversation, I've learned so much about different cultures just because my colleagues are from different cultures or different backgrounds and things like that. It's also why I love to travel. Side note, if anyone wants to buy me a ticket, that would be great. But yeah, I think it's really important that we just have to acknowledge it and do the best that we possibly can to help people see themselves in our books. I think that's really important. And again, it's great to celebrate diversity. Not every book is going to represent you or be for you, but you shouldn't have to struggle to find yourself in a book. I think that's really important.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really beautifully said. And do you think that the publishing industry overall has made much progress in the past couple of years when it comes to diversity and inclusion? And what more can and should be done, in your opinion?
So I can't speak to what's happened in the past couple of years because I've only worked in publishing less than 2 years, and I've read books as a consumer, and I take a particularly unique journey in that I seek out books that cover specific themes or are written by specific people. So actually, like, real marketing doesn't reach me because I'm always digging a bit too deep. But having said that, I think there's always, always, always scope for more change. And I think until we get to a point where we're not having these conversations, it means that we've not done enough. And the fact that I'm still the only something in the room, whatever that thing may be, whether it's black person, woman, person under 30, I'm often still the only insert uniqueness here in the room, then there's definitely more growth to be had. And that's not to say that everywhere you go, there are boxes to tick and there should be this kind of person in the room and that kind of person in the room, but everywhere you go should represent the world that we live in order to be able to reach as many people as possible, and to have all those shared experiences taken into account. I think that's what's important. And not just in publishing, there are a lot of industries that require growth and require change, but I think publishing in particular is very middle class, and yeah, we can definitely do something about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's your favorite initiative to increase diversity and inclusion in publishing or creative industries in general that you've noticed recently and think more people should know about?
Oh, easy. There's a publisher called Knights Of, and they also have a bookshop in Brixton, which I think is called The Roundtable. They're brilliant. And they focus on publishing diverse books for kids. And I know that I knew that I was different from when I was 3 years old. So that's a very, 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 very long time to be conscious of the fact that people recognize that you're different. How do I prove myself? Blah, 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 blah. And not just different in terms of my classmates, but also different to what I would see on screen or in magazines. And it takes constant affirmation for me to be okay with who I am on one level. And that's particularly with regards to race for me. And it also required me to live in a different country and be really comfortable there and to have very unique experiences there. So definitely reaching kids is super important to me. There's also a really small publishing group called Jacaranda, who are doing great things. Again, they also focus on publishing books by BAME authors and sharing unique stories. And they have started this initiative called 20 in 20. So they're publishing 20 books in the year 2020. Both of these organizations are struggling amidst COVID-19, and they're doing a bit of fundraising to keep them afloat in this time. So Flappy, I'll send you the link, and I'd be really grateful if you could reshare it.
Yeah, absolutely. I will.
Thank you.
I will link it in the show notes.
Thank you. Yeah, because there's so many things that I get to enjoy as an adult that I wish I'd seen as a child. So yeah, I absolutely support those two peeps.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really a great initiative. And I love both these publishers. They're really great. And my final question, what are you reading at the moment? And what's your favorite book of the year so far?
At the moment, I am reading Questions for Ada, which is this poetry collection that I kind of always turn to when I need a break from the real world. We read it as part of the book club a couple of years ago. And I think that tailor-made for like the African diasporan woman. Some of them are like really sad and emotional, and some of them are just chill and fun. So I love reading that book because I don't have to read it religiously from beginning to end. I can just flip through for a couple of minutes, couple of hours, and I'm like, ah, exhale. So that's what I'm reading at the moment, and I can send you a link to that as well. And what was my favorite book of the year so far? Ooh, this is a tricky one because I've not read that much this year. I've done a lot of audiobook. Can I cheat and do something that I read towards the end of last year?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. So something I read towards the end of last year was Children of Blood and Bone. So, so good. It's YA fiction, which not a fan of, to be honest. And that's not to say that I never will be. But I didn't really enjoy it in this season of my life. But that book was just brilliant and I can't wait to see it on screen. It's just really exciting and it captures all the things I've been talking about seeing yourself and seeing others and just various types of representation. And, you know, it doesn't always have to be aggressive. And this is a book that ticks 10 boxes. It can just be a really great story that encompasses people from all walks of life. That, I think, is what makes quality books, quality TV, quality films, being able to do that effortlessly is what I love to see. Yeah,
great. Thank you very much. And thank you for being with us on this podcast episode today.
You're welcome.
It was really a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, thank you for giving everybody the opportunity to come and share and make a difference to this industry. I think what you have here is really, really great. And I can't wait to see your success, Flavia.
Oh, that's too kind. Thank you. That is all for this episode of Publishing Insight. I hope you enjoyed listening to it and found it useful. If so, please subscribe and recommend it to a friend. If you'd like to learn more about working in marketing, you can listen to the third and fourth episode of season one. You can find them linked in the description box, along with my email address, website, and social media handles. I hope you're having a nice day, and I'll see you in the next episode.